Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 236, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. By all whom thou wast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified. There is none great beside. Matchless thy works abide, for thou art God. And what follows, Psalter 236, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 11, the verses 1 through 19. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 11, the first 19 verses. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, And no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember Mr. and Mrs. Case Fajadra and further family with the death of a sister-in-law in the Netherlands at the age of 37 years. And Landon Grisnick, who had surgery and was privileged to come home again in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy providence and in thy condescending mercy to give unto us and our children another Lord's Day. Then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. Wherein this past week we have stood on the cemetery with a mourning family, where a dear mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and further family member, and the oldest member of the congregation, was laid in the grave. Then also in this week, then a family in our midst, then they have received the tidings that a dear sister-in-law has went away of all flesh, at the age of 37 years, after battling that dreaded disease for many years. For her does also become eternity. Wilt thou uphold all the mourning families, there are many amongst us, that mourn the loss of dear ones. Wilt thou uphold, and wilt thou sanctify, and that out of that mourning, by the work of thy Spirit, an other mourning may be born. And that is a mourning over our sins, Lord. And that is so necessary for each and every one of us. And that by the first time, but also by renewal. And so necessary in these weeks, when thy church may be called to meditate upon the deep suffering of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, it is all the work of thy Spirit. And to that end, then we humbly ask thee that it may please thee in these solemn and serious times, when thou art speaking in so many ways, that is also evident in thy house on this Sabbath day. May that be our burden, our sin, and our guilt, and that the time may soon arrive, that the whole congregation, that they may gather to keep holy day. Lord, work then mightily and irresistibly by thy Spirit, also in this morning hour, that it may be thy set time, that boys and girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly, that they may be wrought upon, that they may become new creatures, with those new longings and those new desires. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how deeply we have fallen, and that in our death state, unable and unwilling, but oh, now the wonder of thy grace, that thou art still gathering a church, by word and by Spirit. How wilt thou do it in this morning hour? And wilt thou remember thy Zion, oh, in these passion weeks? And may it please thee to grant further uncovery. Wilt thou grant that special instruction? Wilt thou grant encouragement? Wilt thou grant comfort? Ah, the strengthening of faith, that the light may more and more shine in the darkness, that by an eye of faith they may be given to look upon that precious surety, that substitute, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved himself to death, that a people may be saved. Lord, may the manifold labors in the midst of thy vineyard, may they be blessed to that end. And now in this morning hour, then three brothers, they hope to be reinstalled in their office. O Lord, who is sufficient unto these things? But may their eyes truly be upon thee, and may they continually be given to experience that they do not have to labor in their own strength, but that their help may be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Lord, wilt thou grant that they may be found faithful, but may they also be fruitful, together with the whole consistory, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified. Lord, wilt thou then remember the consistory in these trying times, remember each of them. And then we also remember our brother deacon, who in these winter months, who by renewal is struggling with his back. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may grant some strengthening and some healing. What a blessing it is when we may go in and out, Lord. May the consistory be carried upon the wings of prayer. May there be those Aaron and hers. May there be those wrestlers at thy throne of grace, that it may please thee to do a great work amongst us. Thou hast promised that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. And then we may witness it in these days, that thou granteth that the moon may reflect the light of the sun, its all its beauty, and that in this morning hour, that the sun may arise by renewal. That is a rich preaching, that there is still a church to be gathered. And to that end, may the labors in the church, may they be blessed on the Lord's day and also during the week. May we be found oftentimes in our inner chamber with crying and with supplication, with our eyes upon thee, that thou may remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy great and worthy name may be glorified. Lord, remember the manifold needs amongst us. Then we remember the sick and the afflicted. Then in this past week, then thou wast watched over a young son who had a long surgery. Thou wast guided the hands of the physician. Thou wast made everything so wonderfully well. And then in the day of yesterday, then as it were the parents may receive their little son back again and return to their dwelling, wilt thou grant in that gratitude, wilt thou grant further healing, and that this little son may have been so wonderfully spared, that he may be given to tell of thy praises. A father has also won surgery by renewal, and thou wast made all things well. Wilt thou grant further healing and further strengthening? Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted. There are those that are struggling in a special way with infirmities of the body, when they become so overwhelmed. But, Lord, wilt thou remember and uphold? Wilt thou grant that special place at thy footstool, where they may come with their needs, and may the callings be sanctified? Remember all the sick family members in different places and different circumstances. Then we commend them all unto thee, Lord. We remember the elderly ones. We remember the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour with the proclamation of thy holy word. And remember the office bearers with a solemn oath by renewal they hope to make, who is sufficient unto these things. Wilt thou so remember us in thy house, in the basement, and in the dwelling places? Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. A Psalter 58, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. And what follows? Psalter 58, the three stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Mark 11, the first 11 verses, and we shall read the verses 2, 3, and 4. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Our text words speak of Jesus as King, riding into Jerusalem upon a colt, with four thoughts. In the first place, Jesus as King, requesting a colt. In the second place, Jesus as King, given the colt. In the third place, Jesus as King, helping the colt. And in the fourth place, Jesus as King, praised upon the colt. Jesus as King, riding into Jerusalem upon a colt. Jesus as King, requesting a colt, given the colt, helping the colt, and praised upon the colt. Thus, in the first place, Jesus as King, requesting a colt. A beloved congregation, it was on the Friday before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus has come to Bethany. He has come with the multitude that have come up to Jerusalem to keep holy day and celebrate the Passover. Then on the way by Jericho, he has given blind Bartimaeus sight. And also he was given to call to Zacchaeus that he must come down, because Jesus was eating his house, and given to declare that salvation was come to that house. Then following the Friday evening, because our children know it, that for the Jewish people in the Old Testament, then the seventh day, that is our Saturday, that was the Sabbath day. And then Jesus has remained in Bethany on that Sabbath day, a town on the Mount of Olives, approximately 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. Then we have the Mount of Olives a little higher than Jerusalem, and in between the Valley of Kidron. And now on the first day of the week, that is our Sunday, boys and girls, and to that end, that Sunday many times is called Palm Sunday, because it was the Sunday that Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and that the people have cut off palm branches from the tree and put it on the way, and where they have waved those palm branches. And now Jesus as King, then he has sent 2 disciples to Bethphage, a little village. The exact location is not exactly known, but a little village close to Bethany. And then Jesus has given very precise orders to 2 of his disciples. Oh, what a blessing it is when the Lord may teach us, that he may instruct us in the way that we have to go. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat, loose him and bring him. Then this history, then it surely has special meaning, because it has pleased the Lord by the inspiration of a spirit, that this happening, this history, is recorded in all four Gospels, in Matthew 21, Luke 19, and John 12. And then we read that there would be a colt with its mothers. Thus two disciples, they were commanded to go and fetch especially that colt. And then Jesus, what a privilege it is. Then Jesus, he knew what dwelt in the heart of those disciples, because boys and girls, you can understand it, to go to a farmer and to say, give us the mother and the colt. Then undoubtedly for those disciples, they have thought, but what if that farmer refuses? And then Jesus has taken the objections away. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Thus what a special word concerning that colt, that the disciples would say unto that colt, the Lord hath need of him. Then that colt had a special purpose and a special task to fulfill. And then we also read that mother, a donkey, because in the Bible, boys and girls, it is called an ass. We called a donkey. If we look in the encyclopedia, they will tell us that when an ass is wild, then we call it an ass, but when they are tamed, then many times we call it a donkey. And now in our time, in the Western world, when we consider a donkey, then many times we consider them as stubborn, and also that they are dumb. But in the Eastern world, then a donkey was considered to be a patient animal, a gentle, endurance and submission. Then in the Old Testament, then many times, because a horse, that was more an animal of war, but a donkey was an animal of peace. We read of different examples in the Bible of those that have rode on asses. Think of Balaam, the Shunammite. We also read of kings that have rode on asses. A donkey was an animal that would bear burdens. And now it has pleased the Lord to send those disciples that a colt of an ass would be fetched. And we read in the Gospels of John and Matthew that it is the fulfillment, because Jesus has fulfilled all the prophecies which were written of him. When we think of Jesus' kingship, then in Matthew 4, when he was tempted, the devil has offered that kingdom to him if he would bow. The Jewish people think of Matthew 14, after he has fed the 5,000, then they had a desire that they would make him king, and Jesus has refused. But now when he would enter into Jerusalem to suffer and to die, then he would come into the city as king. And that is for the fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Thus called the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, it refers to the chosen people. But when we read of the daughter of Jerusalem, then in the scripture, it also refers to a seeking and a concerned church. Oh, were there such daughters in my midst that in this passion season, with a burden of their sin, that are begging for a solution. And now we read in Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Thus it was the fulfillment of the prophecy that was prophesied approximately 550 years before Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem. Thus what a special happening it was for the city of Jerusalem that he would ride in as king. And now, congregation, is it not so, when law and gospel may be proclaimed, that Jesus cometh unto us, riding upon the apparel of his holy word? Oh, then the message may be brought, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for thy king cometh unto thee. But then maybe a soul says, but is it not necessary in these passion weeks that his priestly office is declared? Oh, surely. But let me ask you now in this morning, do you now desire him as king? Do you love his service? Do you love his word? Because young and old, when the Lord works by his Holy Spirit, then we desire him as king. We desire him to be our king. Oh, to be a subject, to be a handmaiden, to be a servant. Thus then also in this morning, then Jesus may come riding unto us also as king, and may now ask you, do you desire him? Oh, do we not read in that text that the church may be given to shout because of that kingship? And now the disciples, they have went to that owner, and then they have said concerning the colt, oh, it is fulfilled, that it was exactly fulfilled what the Lord Jesus has said, but the Lord hath need of thee. Our second thought, Jesus as king, given the colt. The Lord hath need of thee. That is what a blessing it is when the Lord converts us. Then the Lord says to the devil, that boy or girl, young person, older one, he is now mine. Of course, the church is his from eternity. But by that work of the Holy Spirit, and that is an irresistible work, then the Lord is in need of us. And that is to declare his glory and for the welfare and for the coming of his kingdom. And this morning, installation of office bearers, can refer a little more to it when we speak to the office bearers. But the Lord hath need of thee. That is for his kingdom. That's a word for all of us. Oh, we could speak of fathers, of mothers, teachers, office bearers, all of us. And now those disciples have come, and they have asked for that mother ass and the colt. And then we read, it was exactly fulfilled. They have asked the question of what Jesus has spoken to the disciples, that tells his congregation that in the way of providence, when there may be matters of prayer, when there may be burdens, when we may have exercises, then how necessary and how profitable it is that we take very close notice of the leadings of the Lord, the smallest details, and how that the Lord is such a faithful and wonder-doing God. Because when those disciples have come and they said, we may believe it was one that has known Jesus and loved Jesus. But then they have asked that question, the reason. And then those disciples have said, the Lord hath need of that colt. And then without any further questions, then they have immediately given that mother and that colt into the hands of the disciples. And how have they done it? Not reluctantly. I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 9 that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. They were given to do it with joy, that they were privileged ones, that they can give that mother ass and that colt for the service of King Jesus. How is that with us, congregation? Concerning our time, concerning our talents, concerning our goods. Then we see in our text words that the Lord is everything in his hands. Our third thought, Jesus as King, helping the colt. Because a great wonder has taken place in this chapter. Because it is specifically mentioned that no man has ever sat upon that colt. And our boys and girls know, when you have a horse or an ass, then they need to be trained. Otherwise they shall jump and they shall buck and they shall be wild. But they need to be trained, and that takes much effort. But now in our history, then a great wonder has taken place. Because when Jesus has sat upon that colt, then that colt was tame, obedient, willing to take Jesus from Bethany to Jerusalem. We do not read that the disciples and that the people have seen it. Oh, it is necessary, congregation, that each time by renewal, that our eyes are opened for the manifold wonders of the Lord, can also be in our life in the evening when we are given to reflect upon what has taken place in the daytime, that we may be given to see the Lord's special leadings, the Lord's wonders, that he has graciously watched over us. And now concerning that cult, oh, it is true, there was much false zeal. And even for the disciples, they had much to learn. They were so focused upon that earthly kingdom, of course. When the Lord works by his Holy Spirit, then it also becomes evident in an outward way in our families, in the churches, but also in the world in former days, what an influence that the Word of God had in many government offices and concerning the laws that were made. Thus a cult that was willing to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. And then that people There were many Passover celebrants that they have come from Bethany, and then you would come on Mount Olives, and then you would see Jerusalem. And then also the people in Jerusalem, we read it in the Word of God, whether he would come to the feast. And those on Friday night that have come to Jerusalem, they have said he is coming. He is in Bethany. People have went to see him. Also Lazarus that has been raised from the dead. And then we read that when they have come, when they have met, that they have sang, that they have shouted. But now the wonder concerning that cult, because that cult had to go down the hill into the valley of Kidron, then climb back up to Jerusalem, then we do not read that that cult has faltered, but that that cult was given special help, a young animal given strength. That's another wonder. We do not read that anyone has seen it, but the wonderful works of the Lord, that under the dominion of King Jesus, that everything is brought into subjection of Christ, as we read in one of the epistles. That is now the work of grace. When the Spirit works, then I read in Psalm 110, verse 3, that we become a willing people in the day of his power, not forced, but faith worketh by love. And then we love everything that is connected with the Lord. And then we are willing to give ourselves. Ah, the Lord hath need of him. Our forethought. Jesus as King, praised upon the cult. And then we read that the people that they have cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That word Hosanna, that is a word of adoration, but it means prosperity and save us now. Do not say that the people, that they had the right understanding of what they have said. Because the Jewish people, they were under the dominion of the Romans, and they had a desire to be delivered. Ah, they thought, now is the time that King Jesus shall come to Jerusalem, and he shall deliver us from the Romans, and the former glory of the house of King David shall be restored, and we shall be a free people. Ah, there were so few that had an understanding that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, it is true, as king, as prophet, because he would teach the people, but especially as priest, that he would give himself, that he would suffer, and that he would die, that his church may be delivered. Thus, Hosanna, ah, that people, they were given to sing, they were given to shout. It is a blessing when we may be given to sing, even with our understanding. Paul has spoken thereof in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. I will sing with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. It is a blessing also when in the congregation and church, when we may sing well, what shall it be, congregation, when the whole church shall gather together to sing the praises of the Lord. And now concerning that Hosanna, save us now, is that not a necessary prayer for us and our children when in these Passion Weeks then Jesus may come unto us as that precious Savior, when he may be declared in his necessity and in his beauty, when it may be declared that he can save us and our children to the uttermost. Oh, should it not be the same as the Jewish people. Oh, they have joined together. Oh, they have laid their garments upon that colt and upon the pathway palm branches. And then they have sung, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We read similar verses in Psalm 118, the verses 24 and 25. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us now, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Should that not be the prayer of us and our children, when that precious Jesus, when he may be declared in his priestly office, that he has suffered and died? Oh, should many prayers not ascend, that the Lord may work mightily by his Holy Spirit in the hearts of us and our children, because the Lord has a people that may come under that prophetical office and that have chosen him as king. Oh, they have made that good choice, but the church shall learn by the way of further uncovering that with their choice, that the justice is not satisfied, oh, with the burden of sin. Oh, should it not be the song, the prayer of us and our children? Save now, we beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And in Luke 19, verse 38, they have also said, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then when Jesus has come to Jerusalem, the disciples, they were so glad. And then we read soon in the temple that even the boys and girls, they would sing that Hosanna. And then those Pharisees, they have tried to put a damper on it. They have even said to Jesus how we could allow it. Of course, there can be much false zeal, especially in that beginning. Oh, when the church is longer on the way, then they wish they had more of that zeal of those first days. But then what is necessary not to put a damper on that zeal, but to give such souls guidance. Think of Zechariah 8, verses 4 through 6, when those old men and those old women were given to see those boys and girls playing on the streets of Jerusalem. They were filled with such a joy. Of course, those boys and girls, they had to learn more. But those old men and women, they let those children play. At the Lord's time, the Spirit shall lead them further, of course, for the more further led church, to show that way to that precious Savior. That is their calling. And now Jesus has come to Jerusalem. Then in this morning, then Jesus, in the preaching of the word, then he may come to us. And what is our reception, congregation? That is now the question. What is now the reception of us and our children when King Jesus may be proclaimed? He has come into Jerusalem. Do we desire him as king? If it is not so, of course, it was most misconception, most misunderstanding among the Jewish people. Nevertheless, they were given to sing. It was a prayer, save us now. Do we desire him as king? And in a further examination, have we learned to need him as priest? Oh, then Jesus, then he came to Jerusalem, and when he saw that beautiful city and the temple, what has Jesus now done? We shall close with those words, what we read in Luke 19, the verses 41, 42, and 43. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Amen. Let us sing of Psalter 334, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light it guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. Psalter 334, 1, 2, and 4. We shall now read the form of installations of elders and deacons, which you can find on page 145 in the back of the Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who were chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their installation. But first, you who are to be installed, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who was placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former were of that labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments, but the others who did labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office. Namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word, and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priest in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone, and notwithstanding the offices always remained distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ, but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves, which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God, and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle speaking of this office saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. We now ask the brothers to be reinstalled to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, for elders, Mr. Heri Kurhost and Mr. John van Gadre, and for deacon, Mr. Jan Hendrik Verdijn, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elders and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God Himself, to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine faithfully, according to your ability to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elders in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself, in case ye should become remiss in your duty, to the admonition of the church? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation, and for elders, Mr. Heri Kurhost, Mr. John van Gadre, and for deacon, Mr. Jan Hendrik Verdijn? The Almighty God and Father replenish you all with His grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, the Lord hath need of thee. What we have heard in this morning hour, what a blessing and what a privilege it is when we may receive a place in the church, when we may receive an office. And then from our text words in this morning hour, then we can draw many lines for us as office bearers. An ass is an unclean animal. And that is so necessary, brothers, that continually we may have a deep impression the Lord is not pleased and to call the holy angels to serve in the midst of the church. But he is called Son of Man, as we read in the book of Ezekiel. And then we have heard that that cult, a weak creature, a small creature, that that cult was given by the king. It was a wonder. That that cult was given strength and endurance to carry Jesus. Oh, brothers, that many times we may come in that place, and that we may be given to confess that we are so unable and insufficient of ourselves, but that we may be given to experience each time by renewal what Christ has said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 or 7, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Then we have heard that that cult was to carry Jesus from the Mount of Olives into the valley and then upwards to Jerusalem. Also with office bearers. Then what are valleys of discouragements and what are mountains of impossibility there can be. But the Lord who was called, he is faithful, and he will also do it. Hitherto, brothers, you have not been put to shame. And I know, for each impossibility, for each task, then we need the Lord. But now what a beautiful thought it is that that cult has become a bear of Jesus. A cult was given to bring Jesus to the people in Jerusalem. And now as office bearers, we may be bearers of the word of that living King. It is a precious word. It is a powerful word. And then it is so necessary, we have heard it out of the form, that we are given to diligently and prayerfully search that word and ought not only desire him as king, but need him as priest. Then the cult, the Lord has need of thee to bring that word to the congregation of Pitcher Butte. We have heard of the offices of the elders, but concerning that word, we have heard from deacons, not only to be a bearer of the gifts upon that cult, but also to speak of those comfortable words. Thus, what a precious task. What a responsible task. May the Lord grant his gracious help, and to that end, the necessity, of course, that cult was only an animal, but the necessity that as office bears, that we may be given to pray without ceasing. Thus, what a precious comparisons we can make between that cult and office bears. To be a bearer of law and gospel, to bring it in the midst of our people. And now we have heard with that benediction, then it mentions two words, to be faithful. And to that end, we need the help of the Lord. The closing prayer, there is mentioned that we become not weary of all the troubles. It is a church militant. But then we have also heard that we may be fruitful. And to that end, may the prayers be multiplied, that the labors may be blessed, that the Lord may give to us as consistory wisdom, discretion, we live not in an easy time, and that the Lord may gladden us with a richer outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Let us also mention, brothers, that that cult came a time, cult was used only for a time. And so also our office bearing shall all come to an end. May the Lord help us as brothers of the consistory, and that we may be given to behold the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, when that cult went into Jerusalem, there was much singing. There was much zeal. Zeal needed instruction. What a wisdom and discretion we need to lead souls. Congregation, then we have heard that the owners of that cult, that they had willing hearts, that they were willing to let that ass and that cult go for a special purpose. That we can also draw lines to the family circle. We remember all the wives and the children of office bearers. Spend many evenings and other times alone. That it is the calling of your husband and father to be a bearer of the Word of God. Then you are called upon to sacrifice. Not always easy. Of course, we must guard also as office bearers. We also have a family. That we think of those things. We hope that as the owners in this chapter, that you may willingly be given to sacrifice your husband and father to that end, and to remember that it is for a special purpose, and that is to be a bearer of the precious things of King Jesus into the midst of the congregation for the coming of His kingdom and for the glory of His name. And then congregation. Then we have heard that the people, that they have taken their garments off, the outer garments, the disciples, and they have placed them upon that colt, and they have put their garments on that way with palm branches, that it would be an easy way for that colt to travel. And to that end, we can draw another beautiful line. As congregation, may you place before them, though not to honor in man, but as respect of their offices, which the Lord has placed them in and trusted them, that you may be given to place those garments of respect and obedience before them, and not to place stumbling blocks with disobedience and world conformity, and above all, the necessity that there may be a Aaron's and hers, not only on the Sabbath day, but also during the week, necessary in the family circles, that our children may hear it at the prayers, at the table, in family worship, that the whole consistory is carried upon the wings of prayer, because who is sufficient unto these things? Oh, then when we have spoken, that cult, young, not so strong, insufficient of themselves, and a wild nature. Oh, office bearers also learns what lives within. But the necessity, congregation, young and old, may you be given to give that respect, due diligence. And let us also mention in catechism class, fathers and mothers, it is your duty. We have young people that do learn their questions, but there are also those We are afraid that they do not open their question book before they come to catechism class. These things ought not to be. Thus, may we be given to work together, it's true, for the one easier than another, and that all the labors in the midst of the church may be blessed for the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his name. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing unto these brothers from Psalter 436, the stanzas 1 and 3. Praise ye all the Lord of lords, all ye his servants, bless his name. Ye that at night his watch maintain, extol his services with fame. And what follows? 436, 1 and 3 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Be in good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls and not for bread. Let him that is stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it hath pleased thee for the better edification of thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that thou wast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope, endowed with thy Spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, and taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may preserve in their faithful labor, and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts toward the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts toward those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. our closing Psalter, Psalter 112, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known. And what follows, Psalter 112, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
and receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.